Well, what's up, family? What's up, B-Fam? Good morning. Good to see all of y'all here this morning, gathering for online worship. As you can see, we are not in the building. We are outside the building. Snow in the background, because as you guys know, here in VA, in the 757, we got hit with some good snow. And so we're doing a little bit different today. But nonetheless, man, we're honored to be able to worship together with you online. Really quick, I want you to let us know where you're watching from, where you're worshiping with us from. You might be here locally, you might be somewhere else in the country, somewhere else around the world, but I want you to let us know where you're watching us from. Now, I'm gonna also be real about this. This summer gonna probably be a little bit shorter than normal because it is cold out here. Big shout out to my ace, Franklin, our director of production behind the camera. He out here bundled up. You can't see him, but he out here bundled up. We out here trying to stay warm, but I do believe that God has a word for us today as we end 21 days of prayer and fasting today, man. I hope that this journey has been good for you guys. I pray that it's been refreshing. I pray that it's been renewing. I also pray that it has been encouraging for you. Matter of fact, today, as we end 21 days of prayer and fasting, we're going to end today with worshiping God and honoring God through communion. So if you could do me a favor, I want you to go ahead and get your elements ready, get your crackers, your wafers, your bread, your water, your juice. Go ahead and get that ready, because right after the message today, we're gonna take a moment and just reflect and remember and give thanks to God through communion. And then last but not least, before I get in the word, I want to let all of us know that on Sunday, February 14th, the week after the Super Bowl, we are starting our online connect groups, which are going to be incredible. I hope you guys get signed up. I hope you're looking forward to it. And I just pray that you would lean into community and lean into connections during this time, so that way you can continue to grow, so we all can continue to grow closer to God and also grow closer to one another. So with that being said, family, we're gonna dive into the word. I got a word today, and it's very appropriate with the snow in the background. And I think we'll have it up for you on the screen, but here in Isaiah chapter 1, around verse 16 through 18, Isaiah chapter 1, 16 through 18, and I'm pulling up here on my Bible app, as some of you guys may normally use. But in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 16 through 18, it's a very interesting passage of scripture, because here God is speaking through his prophet Isaiah, and he's given the children of God, the people of God, the children of Israel, specifically Jerusalem here, some very profound prophetic and almost kind of like words of warning, but words of encouragement at the same time. So I want us to turn there. Isaiah chapter 1, looking at verse 16, and here is actually what it says. Wash yourselves, cleanse yourselves, remove your evil deeds from my sight, stop doing evil, learn to do what is good, pursue justice, correct the oppressor, defend the rights of the fatherless, plead the widow's cause. Come, let's settle this, says the Lord. Though your sins are scarlet, they will be white as snow. Though they are crimson red, they will be like wool. Here's the key part that I want to lock in on. Though your sins are scarlet, they will be white as the snow that you see here on the ground. So I'm actually calling today's message, as we are in this series called The Rebuild. And as you guys know, we've declared that this is the year of the rebuild here in our church, but also that God wants to do a rebuild through our church and our community and our country and in our world. I'm calling today's sermon Cleaning House. Cleaning House. I want you to type down in the comment section, Cleaning House. Now, what's interesting about this passage of scripture here in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah is delivering this message to the people of God from God. And it's the household of faith, if you will. Oftentimes in scripture, the people of God are typically called the household of faith, or God's people, God's holy house, if you will. And it's interesting because the book of Isaiah, if you read the first chapter of chapter one, it's almost like Isaiah comes swinging with the word from God, that God is essentially coming to, in a gentle, loving way, to rebuke the people because they've taken their eyes off of God. And here's how. The people of God were supposed to be people who were building the lives of other people. As you know, we're in this series and this season called The Rebuild, and we're in this year called The Rebuild. But instead of the people focusing on being intentional with rebuilding the lives of people that were around them, they had shifted their attention from God, which then allowed them to shift their attention from the things of God to now focusing only on themselves. And this reveals the first point that I want us to get in our hearts and to see that's happening here in this passage that I think it also happened with us. And this is the point that I want you to understand and the point I want you to screenshot right now. And it is this: contamination. Everybody say contamination. Contamination, right? Contamination in the chat. Contamination, I feel like, is a very appropriate word, even for this season, because as we think about COVID cases that are spreading and that are spiking in many ways, the one thing that none of us want to really be connected to is the possibility of being contaminated with this virus called COVID. But something else is actually happening here in the lives of the people, that the virus that was contaminating the lives of the people, it wasn't COVID. It was actually this virus called sin. And it was manifesting itself in the way that the people were treating other people. Look at what verse 16 says. Wash yourselves, cleanse yourselves, remove your evil deeds from my sight. Stop doing evil. Learn to do what is good. Pursue justice. Correct the oppressor. Defend the rights of the fatherless. Plead the widow's cause. I want you to see what's happening here. The people of God were more focused on their own lives and on themselves than the purposes of God. This is why God has to tell them, stop doing this evil, speak up for those who are voiceless, defend the cause of the widows, defend the cause of those who are oppressed. Why? Because the people had become so distracted, they were so focused on themselves that instead of building the lives of other people, they were focused on building their own lives. And it's not that there's anything wrong with us focusing on building our own lives, but when it comes to the expense of doing the purposes of God and the plans of God, that's when things ultimately begin to go downhill. So here's what happens, family. They were contaminated by their own comforts and their preferences, and it was getting in the way of God's purposes. And I think just as the people of God here in Isaiah took their eyes off of God in this moment and drifted from their sacred and righteous calling to be a light to the world, we too can drift and take our eyes off of God and begin to ultimately do the same. We can focus more on ourselves rather than what God wants. And when we begin to focus on ourselves more than what God wants, when that happens, we begin to fall outside of the purposes of God. I want you to write this down. This is, take a screenshot of it. I'm saying it like this, that pride and preferences are poisonous to the purposes of God. Pride and preferences are poisonous to the purposes of God. Here's what I mean by that. What happens when the people of God begin to turn their eyes away from God and begin to turn their focus on their own lives? Not that there's anything wrong with wanting to be who God's called you to be. We should. But when we become so focused on ourselves that we miss out on how we are called to build the lives of other people, here's what happens. Communities begin to suffer. Families begin to suffer. People will begin to remain in spiritual strongholds. Oppressions will continue. And in spite of all the contamination present in the people of God, when it came to the purposes of God, here's the awesome thing about this. If you don't get anything else out of this message, I want you to get this. In spite of the people drifting from God, in spite of the people being so contaminated with their own preferences and their sin, God never gave up on them. God never quit on them. And that's the good news that I want to share with us all today, that no matter how far we've drifted, no matter how much we've abandoned God, he still hasn't abandoned you. Let me say it like this. Even though we may have forsaken God, he never canceled us. He never gave up on us. He never quit on us. And the good news is this, in spite of our contamination, in spite of the things that are ruining our lives, that God wants to repair and God wants to restore, here's the thing that I want you to understand. In spite of all that, God is extending to us an invitation. I want you to write down invitation in the chat. He's extending to us an invitation. Notice what verse 18 says. Come, let us settle this. In spite of the sin of the people, God was still inviting the people to turn to him. And the good news for us today is that even when we've done wrong, even when we've turned away from God, God still says, come, let's settle this. Why does God do this? Why does God still extend these opportunities for us to come to know him? He extends this opportunity to us so that way we can experience his love, so we can experience his grace, so we can experience his mercy. And I want to say this, that God is not a God of condemnation. God is actually a God of invitation. I want you to write that down. It's a screenshot. Take a screenshot of it. That God isn't a God of condemnation. He is a God of invitation. So in other words, God is saying, you may be dirty, you may be filthy, you may have made this mistake, you may have made that mistake, you may test positive for a virus, called sin, but my grace and my love is greater than your sin. That my grace and love is greater than all of the things that you've ever done before. I want to say this, in spite of our contamination, God still extends an invitation. In spite of all the things that we've done, God says, I'm still with you. I'm still for you. And what does he give us an invitation to? He gives us this invitation to experience transformation. Write that down real quick. Transformation. That's what God does. He extends the opportunity to us to be transformed by his grace and to be transformed by his goodness. So notice what he says in verse 18, the second part. Though your sins are scarlet, they will be as white as snow. Though they are crimson red, they will be like wool. I want you to notice the metaphor that God uses here to describe our sin. He says, though your sin is like scarlet, it will be made white as snow. And though it is crimson red, it will become like wool. Why is this so profound? It's profound because here's what we see. We see an act of a transformation that's ultimately taking place here. There's a transformation going from scarlet to snow, from crimson red to wool. I want you to understand the significance of snow and wool here. That snow and wool here in this passage represents a cleansing. It represents something that is pure. It represents something that is clean. In other words, God is saying, even though you are dirty, I can clean you up. And what happens when we come to God? When we come to God, he does the transforming work in our lives. He promises to purify us. He promises to cleanse us of our sins through forgiving our sins. He says, it doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter how far you've strayed away from me. It doesn't matter how much you've fallen short. I'm still here. I still want to cleanse you. I still want to transform you. And I want to close with this thought, that all of this is actually a picture of what God actually was trying to do and what rather was bringing forth through his son, Jesus Christ. That what God pronounces here in Isaiah chapter 1 is ultimately fulfilled through his son. Here's what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is past, and see, the new has come. The red blood of Jesus, family, the red blood of Jesus that drips down Calvary's cross cleanses us from our sin, makes us as white as snow. It makes us pure, frees us from our iniquity, frees us from our bondage. Here's what 2 Corinthians 5:19 says. That is this, in Christ Jesus, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. Here's what I hear Jesus saying to all of us today. No matter how far we've strayed, no matter what we've done, he says this, if you do the showing up, I'll do the cleaning up. If you do the showing up, I'll do the cleaning up. Here's what I also want us to know. You and I can't clean ourselves up. No matter how hard we try, when it comes to our relationship with God, we can't do it on our own. But the good news is this, you ain't gotta do it. Like, I'm so glad that God doesn't put the pressure on us to do the cleansing ourselves. I'll say it like this, write this down, take a screenshot. You don't have to be clean to come to Jesus. Because when you come to Jesus, he'll make you clean. You don't have to be clean to come to Jesus. Because when you come to Jesus, he'll make you clean. We can't set ourselves free from our sin, from our bondage, from our addiction. Yes, there's things that God calls us to do in our own strength. But at best, those things are what I like to call behavior modification. But in our own strength, we can produce modification. But in the strength of Jesus, only he can produce transformation. Jesus is saying, I'm not just focused on wanting to bring forth behavior modification. No. I want to actually bring forth life transformation. And what you see here in Isaiah chapter 1 is a promise from God. If you come to me, I'll cleanse you. I'll transform you. I'll make you into a new creature. Does it mean that everything is going to be perfect in your life? Absolutely not. Does it mean that you're going to get everything right in your life? Absolutely not. But here's ultimately what it means. What it means is that in Jesus Christ, you now are a new creature. The good news of the gospel is no matter where you find yourself, no matter what path you're on, when you come to him, you can come to experience this new life. Family, I want to let us know this. If we're going to be the kingdom builders that God's called us to be, if we're going to be bridge builders, if we're going to be people who are being a part of rebuilding the lives of people, it's going to have to start with God doing a work on the inside of us. If we're going to be those Nehemiahs that we've been talking about last week and we're going to dive back into next week, if we're going to be those type of people, we have to constantly allow God to do a cleansing work on the inside of us. And I want to lead us in a moment of prayer, because I believe in this moment, some of you guys are watching this right now, man, your week was crazy, your life is crazy right now, and you just feel so far from God, and you kind of feel like your sins are like scarlet and it's crimson red. And I want to encourage you to let you know that in Jesus, man, your stuff can be forgiven. Your life can be made new. You don't have to be the same person that you are. You can be transformed. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, I just want to lead us in a moment of prayer for some of you guys right now who are in this place who are saying, Pastor Edwin, I need to give my life to Jesus, and I want to say yes to him today. I want you to say these words after me. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. I believe that you died for my sins. I believe that you rose from the grave on the third day to give me life and life more abundantly. God, we thank you for salvation. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for forgiving us. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, church family. I want you to put your hands together right where you are for every single person who said yes to Jesus. I want you to know that God is doing a cleansing work on the inside of all of us. He is cleaning house. He is trying to repair things. He's trying to rebuild things. He is trying to restore and renew things. And I want to let you know this. If you made a decision just now to give Jesus your life, I want you to know all your sins, past, present, and future, are as white as this snow is right behind me. That though your sins were like scarlet and crimson red, no, made you white as snow. If you prayed that prayer, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to text the word I decided to 94,000 so that we can follow up with you about some next steps.